Today's here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Yud. We begin on the very top line with the new Braisa Tana Rabbon. We're learning today Lila Nishmas Ann Tepper, I do not have her Hebrew name, and Eleanor Horowitz, Elka Reina Bas Shlomo Michoel. All the Nishamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. So we begin Yud Amud Aleph, the very top line, Tana Rabbon. Since we discussed a little bit about the creation of the world, so this Braisa continues and tells us Tana Rabbon and Eretz Yisrael Nivreis Techila. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he first created the world, Eretz Yisrael. And then he created the surrounding areas, the surrounding countries to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was the first thing that was created. How do we know this? Because the Pasuk tells us in Mishlei, Shenemar, Ad Shelo, Ad Lo Osa Eretz V'chutzos. First HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Eretz, that's Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz, and then only afterwards V'chutzos, the surrounding areas, the areas outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Braisa continues and says, Eretz Yisrael Mashko so HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmo v'chol ha'olam kulo ayde shliach. Eretz Yisrael also gets special attention from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu personally goes and takes care of the water needs. Mashko so HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself waters the land of Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to the rest of the world, that he sends a shliach to go and provide water to them. What is this based upon? Pasuk in Iyov, Shenemar, Hanosein Motor al pnei Oretz, that he gives the motor to Eretz Yisrael, u'shaleach mayim, and then he sends a shaliach to give the mayim al pnei chutzos, to the outside Eretz Yisrael lands, the lands that are surrounding Eretz Yisrael, the rest of the world. Similarly, the Raisa says, Eretz Yisrael shosa megishamim v'chol olam kulo mitamtsis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Eretz Yisrael its own fresh water, its own rainwater, specifically for it, and the rest of the world manages with the runoff. The rest of the world manages with the tamtzis. The tamtzis is the shrayim, the leftovers. So anything that isn't used and needed by Eretz Yisrael, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the rest of the world. Where is this based upon? Shenemar, this same pasuk that we just brought down from Eov. Hanosi in motu apnei oretz. And the end part was the sholeach mayim apnei chutzos. That's the vegomer. So again, the motor, the primary rain, that's for Eretz Yisrael, and the leftovers, the shrayim, the tamtzis, so that goes to the rest of the world. Similarly, the Braisa continues, Eretz Yisrael shoso tchila v'chol olam kulo b'sof. Eretz Yisrael is first given the water, and only afterwards does the rest of the world get the water. And also, based upon that same pasuk in Iyov, shenemar, anosin motor al pnei oretz, v'gomer, v'sholeach mayim al pnei chutzos. So all of these are saying a similar idea that Eretz Yisrael is the premier place in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it first. HaKadosh Baruch Hu personally takes care of it. And anything that's left over, that's what the rest of the world gets. But the primary focus is, of course, on Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara continues and tells us, Moshal la'odim shemagabel esagvina. This analogy that Eretz Yisrael takes the primacy of everything, and then the leftovers for the rest of the world, is like when a person makes cheese. La'odim shemagabel esagvina. Gibel is the lashon of bona, of building the cheese, of taking the cheese. When he goes and makes cheese, so there is the cheese part, and then there's the leftover part. So, no telus ochel, the person ultimately has the cheese, and he takes the cheese. No, and there's leftover part, which is okay. It's not bad. It's edible. It's not psolus totally, but u'miniach es psolus. In comparison to the ochel, this is considered psolus. So there is leftover stuff that is still usable, but the real ikker is the cheese. So too, the real ikker is Eretz Yisrael, and the rest of the world is benefiting from the fact that there's leftovers from Eretz Yisrael. Now, in yesterday's shiur, we had a machlokus between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua. Rebbe Eliezer said that the rains come from the oceans, the evaporation of the ocean water goes up to the clouds sweeten it, and then it comes back down as rain. Rebbe Yeshua said, no, it's a special storehouse that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in Shemayim, where all the waters are kept. So we now go back to that. Omar Mar, we said in yesterday's shiur that according to the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, how did the salty ocean water become nice, sweet, non-salty rainwater? So he said, Mimaskin hain ba'ovim. It got desalinated, it got purified, it got sweetened in the clouds. That's what we said yesterday. So now the Gemara asks, Minoli, how do we know that that's true? Where do we get that from? It's based upon the following pasuk from Tehillim Ksiv. It says, Cheshkas mayim ovei shechokim. And we have a similar pasuk from Shmuel Beis, where the word not cheshkas, but uksiv, chashras mayim ovei shechokim. So, cheshkas mayim ovei shechokim means that the clouds are dark, they're filled with water, and chashras mayim says that it's like a sieve. A chashra is a sieve. So, the water comes from shemayim, from these thick clouds, and it comes down through the clouds. So, we have the two words, cheshkas and chashras. similar psukim, but not the same word. So the Gemara darshan is an unusual way to darshan. It says shol chof, take the chof from the word cheshchas and insert it into the word chashras, ushade aresh, and put it in front of the resh of chashras. And as a result, when you do this, ukori be chachshoras, you have here a word that sounds like hachshoras. The hey and the ches are interchangeable. So therefore, it's as if you had the word hachshoras. Now, hachshora is something that is making something ready. It's mukshal kabotuma. You're preparing it. It's making it ready. And therefore, that's what the clouds do. The cheshkasmayim, chashrasmayim. So the clouds prepare the water. They sweeten it. That's the drasha that Rabbi Elazar has to know how the salt water becomes nice, sweet, non-salty water. No, what does Yeshua do with his drasha cheskas chashras? For Yeshua, bani kroy ma darishbu. What does he do with this pasuk? So sava Allah, he holds kiha as the following statement: dichi osa ravdimi. When ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said that Amri b'marava. They say in Eretz Yisrael that nahur anani, when the clouds shine, when the clouds are lit up. In other words, you can like see through them. They're not very thick and heavy. So therefore, in that situation, ze'irin mohi, there's very little water inside of them. However, choshech anoni, when they get dark, and that's the word over here, when we have chesh kas mayim, so when they're dark, so then sagin mohi, then they're filled up with water, and that's what he darshans these pasuk, these psukim in the following, in this fashion. Now, the Gemara here doesn't say what he does with the other pasuk, chash ras mayim, but we had that previously in yesterday's shir, that he says that the clouds are like a sieve, and that they let out the rain. We said that there's like a hair breadth in between each of the holes of the sieve, and this way the rain is sprinkled all over the world. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Keman ozel hodetanya." Which opinion, Rabbi Elazar or Yeshua, does the following brisa go like? "Keman ozel hodetanya," where it says in the brisa, "Mayim ho yonim b'mamar him tluyim." Rashi explains over here that the upper waters are held up just with the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "B'mamar him tluyim." They're not held up physically by anything, just by HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, "This is where I want the water to be stored." That's where the water is stored. As Rashi says, Einon nochos al shum dover, they're not being supported by anything. Elam chunosus, they're all gathered there. The omdos, and they stay there. Kemin brecha, like a big pool of water. Utluyos, and they just held up there in Shemayim, b'mamoro shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Brisa continues and says, Uperos sehem, their fruits are what? Megishama, are the rains that come down, are considered the fruits of this mayim ho'al yonim. Shinamar, this is based upon the pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk tells us, "Mipri maasecha tisba haaretz." From the fruits of your handiwork, the world is sustained. Tisba haaretz, the world is given all the waters that it needs. So, who does this go like? Come on, this certainly sounds like Rabbi Yeshua, that there are waters up there in Shemayim that are placed there. It doesn't say anything about the oceans, the evaporation. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has these huge storehouses of water in Shemayim that are held up just by His word, and He sprinkles down the rain. The fruits of those storehouses of water are the rains that come down, and mipri maasecha tisbaris, and these fruits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork, the rain that comes down, that's what satisfies the land and provides water for the land. So, kiman, Rabbi Yeshua, this certainly sounds like the opinion of Yeshua. No, what does Rabbi Elazar do with this pasuk? Rabbi Elazar, how does he dash in this pasuk? He says it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork, lav dafka, the rain. This is talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's doing. He creates all of the things in the world, and He brings down the rain. But Lav Davka is that storehouse in Shemayim, not made from the evaporation of the ocean salt water. Where it says, Amar Yishuv ben Levi, kol olam kulo mitamtzis gan eden hu shoseh. Just like we spoke that Eretz Yisrael is the primary land, and that the whole world is supplied by the runoff from Eretz Yisrael, from the extra, from the shrayim of Eretz Yisrael. So he says the entire world is supported by the tamtzis, the extra that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into Gan Eden that's not needed by Gan Eden, who shows us. So the rest of the world is supported from the runoff, the excess, the shrayim of Gan Eden. What's this based upon? So it's based upon the pasuk in Bereishis, Shenemar, the Nahar Yotzei Me Eden, L'hashkos es Hagan. So V'gomer. So therefore, the water that comes off from Eden, the extra water that comes out of Eden, so that goes and supplies the rest of the world. Now, Gemara says, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Mitamsis base core shows the tarkav. Now, a base core is 30 saw. So if you have the field that is 30 saw, a base core, so the extra runoff from that field that that field doesn't need for itself is able to sustain shosa, the extra irrigation from that field that's not needed, can sustain a tarkav. Tarkav is trei ukav, which is three kavim. There are six kavim in a saw, so this is a half of a saw. So from a 30 saw field, the extra runoff is able to support a half of a saw. So it's a 60-to-1 ratio. 30 saw to a half of a saw. In 30 saw, there are 60 half saws. So from a field that can be supported with, that's needed the water to support 60 half saws, the runoff, the extra, can support a half a saw. So a 60-to-1 ratio. So therefore, just like the entire field of a base core can support a tarkav, so to the world, Eden is able to support the world. So therefore, there's a 60-to-1 ratio that Gan Eden, where the main Iker rain is, so that supports the rest of the world. The rest of the world is 1/60th of Gan Eden. Again, these ideas are difficult to understand because we have no comprehension of what Gan or Gan Eden are. Gan and Eden are two separate places, and how that relates to the world. These are very difficult and deep, complex statements that we're just scratching the surface of. The Brisa continues further along this theme and says, Tanu Rabbanon, Eretz Yitzrayim havya dalad meos parsa al dalad meos parsa. Mitzrayim, the area of it is an area that is 400 parsa by 400 parsa. Again, a parsa is 4 mil. A mil is roughly a kilometer. So this would be 1,600 kilometers. 400 parsa, which is 1,600 kilometers by 1,600 kilometers. In fact, I looked it up. The Mitzrayim that we have today, the Egypt of today, is actually about 1,600 kilometers by 1,100 kilometers. So Lav Davka, the Mitzrayim that we have today, is the Mitzrayim that we're talking about over here, but these numbers are actually somewhat accurate. So the Gemara describes over here Mitzrayim as being 1,600 kilometers by 1,600 kilometers in its dimensions. And that is Vu Echad Mishishim B'Kush, and that is 1/60th of the size of the place called Kush. I'm not sure what they're referring to here. Kush sometimes referred to as Ethiopia. Obviously, Ethiopia is not that large compared to Mitzrayim, so I'm not sure what they're referring to as Kush. Some suggest it's India. In any event, this area known as Kush is 60 times bigger than the area of Mitzrayim. And Kush is Echad Mishishim B'Olam, and Kush is 1/60th of the area of the world. And the world, the Olam, Echad Mishishim B'Gan. The world is 1/60th of Gan, as we just brought down a moment ago from the previous Brisa. And Gan is Echad Mishishim L'Eden. Gan and Eden. Gan and Eden are two separate places. You have the Gan, and then you have Eden itself. So the Gan is 1/60th of Eden. And Eden, Echad Misamach L'Gehenim. Eden is much smaller than Gehenim. Gehenim is 60 times larger than Eden. And therefore, Nimtza, the Brisa tells us, Kol Olam Kula, when you look at the size of the world compared to Gehenim, the world is like Kol Olam Kulam Kikisui. It's like a cover of a pot, a Kikisui Kidera LeGehenim. It's like a little small little cover on the huge Gehenim. Others say, the Yishomrim, Gehenim Ein Lo Shir. The Gehenim doesn't have a shir. It's not that the Eden is 1/60th of Gehenim. Gehenim is infinite. It doesn't have a shir to it. And others say, it's not that the Gehenim doesn't have a share of Yeshomim, Eden ain't a share, that Eden doesn't have a share to it. Again, this is a Gemara that cannot be understood literally, and I certainly don't have the ability to explain it. Amar Vashai, Rav Vashai says, "My disiv, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Shochant al Mayim Rabim, Rabas Otsoros? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Mi Goram Lebavel, Shiu Otsorosel Maleos. What causes Bavel to have these Rabas Otsoros, these fully filled storehouses? That are Maleos bar, that are filled up with all sorts of produce, all sorts of grain, have Yomer, Hamnesha Shochenes al Mayim Rabin, because of the first part of the Pasuk, Shochant al Mayim Rabin, because Bavel is such an area that has so much water, so therefore, Rabas Otsoros, it can have tremendous production of grain, and Otsrosel Maleos bar, they're filled up with grain. Have Yomer, Mibnesha Shochenes al Mayim Rabin, so the drush over here is because it is in an area where there's a lot of water, so therefore it can make a tremendous produce. And that's why it's known as the Fertile Crescent. The Mideast is known as the Fertile Crescent because of these tremendous waters. Amarav, Rav tells us, Asira Bavel, the reason why Bavel is Asira. Asira is rich. The reason why Bavel is so rich, the Shin and the Tuf are interchangeable. So Ashira, Asira, right? You have Taklin and Shaklin, Shkolin. So the top of the Shin are interchangeable. So Ashira Bavel, Bavel is so wealthy because the Chatzda below Mitra, because it is able to have a harvest. The Chatzda means the harvest. In other words, even though there's no rain over there, you can have a bountiful harvest, even though below Mitra, even though there's no rain, because Bavel is a low-lying area and the water pools over there, and you can have a tremendous amount of produce even though there isn't rain. It's supported by the waters that are already there. And Abaye adds, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Nikitinan, we have a Kabbalah, we have a Mesorah, Tuvioni below Yuvshani. Now, there's two ways to understand this. The bubble is so wet, Tuvani, it's filled up with water, and therefore it never dries out, and therefore the crops always grow over there. That's a simple reading of the words. And Tosus has a different understanding a little bit. Tosus says that he's talking in general. Pirish, mutav lios ba'aretz shehilacha mikishehi yivesha. Better to live in a humid type of a climate. The soil will always be filled with water rather than living in a very dry area where you're relying upon the rains, for example, like Eretz Yisrael. However, that's really a bracha because, as with the Nachash HaKadmoni, when he sinned, the Kodesh Baruch said, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Get out of my sight. There's always dust wherever you go. You'll have plenty of food, but I don't want your tefillos. I don't want you to come on to me and ask me constantly for support. As opposed to in Eretz Yisrael, you constantly have to ask, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, please give me the bounty of the rain. Without the rains, Eretz Yisrael will be in tremendous trouble. So therefore, we're constantly asking for HaKodesh Baruch Hu's help, and that's the relationship that we want to be in a position to constantly be in touch with HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Next Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and reminds us about the different opinions that we had about when you start the rain. So we had one opinion that started as early as Gimel in Cheshvan, and then the next rains came on the 7th and on the 17th, then we had another opinion, then we had a final opinion that said it actually went all the way, the third rains didn't come till Kislev. So the Gemara is now assuming the earliest scenario, which is the third day of Cheshvan was the Yiriya Rishona, then on the 7th day, and then on the 17th day. So it tells us, Gimel Mar Cheshvan, Shol and Segeshamim. So based upon that opinion, we start asking, because that's the earliest opinion for when the rains would come. That opinion, Rav Meir's opinion, would be that you start asking for the rains already on Gimel B'mar Cheshvan. You start saying in the Shmoneh Esrei, you're saying Talamot L'Vracha at Ma'ariv of the third day of Cheshvan. That's the opinion of Tanakama, and that goes in accord with Rav Meir. Rav Gamliel disagrees. Rav Gamliel, no, B'shivabo. It goes according to the opinion that it's 7, 17, and 23. And therefore, the first day that the rains comes is normally Yiriya Rishon is on the 7th day. So that's when we start asking the same Talamot L'Bracha. And why is this 7th day important? It's because it's Tesvav Yom Achar Chag. It's 15 days after Shmini Atzeres. And it gives people who are traveling all over Eretz Yisrael, the furthest away from Yerushalayim, would take them 15 days to reach there. And therefore, we don't want to ask for rain while the people are traveling, because it makes the traveling that much more difficult when it's rainy and muddy. And therefore, we wait until everybody's back home. And therefore, that's why Zayin Cheshvan is the day that we start asking V'sein Talamotu Levrocha. Kidei she'agia achron shebi Yisrael l'Nahar Pras. So the people that are furthest away from Yerushalayim will be able to get back to their homes near Nahar Pras before the rains came, and the river Pras, the Euphrates River, would overflow, and it would be very difficult to cross it, and there would be flooding, and therefore we wait to ask Saint Talamotu Levrocha until everybody is back home. Gemara starts off and says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Halachic Rabbi Gamliel, we pass it like Rabbi Gamliel, that in fact we start saying it from the 7th day, we start asking St. Talamata from the 7th day, and not from the 3rd day, like the opinion of the Tanakhama. Unfortunately, we have a whole discussion, is this only during the times of the Beis HaMikdash when people went Aliyas Regel? So therefore, there was a reason to wait 15 days, but otherwise, maybe we should start asking right after Sukkahs. So we pass an Aloha Maisha in Eretz Yisrael, that we wait still till the 7th day. And one of the reasons for this, which is a beautiful reason, is that people still went up, even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, to be in Yerushalayim. Just like many people today want to be for the Shlosh Regalim in Eretz Yisrael, and especially in Yerushalayim, even though technically there's no mitzvah, Aliyas HaRegel, without the Beis HaMikdash, but it's a beautiful idea that people still want to be in Yerushalayim. So therefore, Halacha L'maisa, we bring down a Shulchan Aruch, then Eretz Yisrael, they start saying Saint Talamot L'Vracha on the night of the 7th day of Cheshvan. Again, Chutz L'Aretz, as we'll see in a second, we don't start saying it till a later point in time, which is now what the Gemara tells us, Tanya. We'll learn the Braisa. In Chutz L'Aretz, Chananya Omer, Ubagola, Ad Shishim Batakufa. In Golos, in the Gola, in Chutz L'Aretz, so then we only start saying it until the 60th day of the Tekufa. The Tekufa is the season, and the season, 60th day, in modern day times, the 60th day of the season will be Because of all the changes in the secular calendar, when the Roman Caesars wanted to make sure that they had months named after them, and in order to catch up, they had made some mistakes in their calendar, so additional months were put in. So you have August, for example, Augustus Caesar was named after him. So therefore, the 60th day nowadays in Chutz Laretz, well, depending on whether it's a leap year or not, will be December 5th to start saying, usually, St. Halmata in the Ma'ariv Shmoneh Esrei of December 5th. It's interesting, that goes by the solar calendar and not by the lunar calendar. And that's what Hananiah tells us. In the Gola, it's the 60th day of the Tkuf of the new season. And Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Ki Hananiah, we paskin like this Hananiah, and that is the Halacha L'maisa. Here in Chutz Laretz, we're not saying St. Halmata L'Bracha right now, and there it's all they are. I mentioned when I introduced this, I was Baruch Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, so I started saying St. Halamotel Levracha, and now what I do in the Shmoneh Esrei is what the Piskei Tshuva brings down, this Pesach of Rav Herschel Shechter Shlita and many other Gedolei Yisrael, that when you come back from Eretz Yisrael, you say now back like in Chutz Laretz, saying Bracha, but in the Shomea Tvila, I add the St. Halamotel Levracha to be Yotzei both opinions, because I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I did start saying St. Halamotel Levracha. You don't want to stop asking for that Bracha for Eretz Yisrael. But the rest of the people in Chutz Laretz weren't in Eretz Yisrael, so they're still saying the same bracha all the time. They don't say the same talamotel of bracha. In fact, if they were to say it, they would have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei, because it's inappropriate to ask for this bracha in a time when it's not needed, and therefore they continue saying the same bracha up until the Maariv of December 5th. Then they switch over to saying the same talamotel of bracha. Gemara questions this and says, really? Ini? Is this the halacha? They asked Shmuel the following shaila. Now Shmuel lived in Bavel, and they asked him, "Imas matkirinan the same talamotel levracha? When do you start saying the same talamotel levracha in the Shmoneh Esrei?" And he didn't answer them December 5th. Amalo, he said, "Miki ma'ile tzive lebei tavus rishba." He said, from the time that they start bringing wood into the storehouses of this certain trapper, this hunter known as Tavus, that was his name, and he would trap birds. So when it started to get wet, the rainy season would start, so they wanted to bring the wood inside. So Rashi says, so they would have dry wood for the rainy season coming up. Because the rains would start from now on, and they wouldn't be able to chop down new wood because it would be all wet. They wouldn't be able to chop down wood from the forest. It would be wet and wouldn't be good for kindling. So therefore, when they started bringing in the wood to the storehouses, so they knew now was the rainy season. So why are you telling me December 5th? It's this other time when they would start bringing in the wood into the storehouses of Tavus HaRishba. So the Gemara says, no, they're the same Shia. Dilma, maybe. Now, sometimes Dilma doesn't mean maybe. It means, no, this is the answer. That's the exact same time. This point in time when they started bringing the wood into the storehouses, the wood chambers of Tavus HaRishba, was this December 5th. It was the 60th day in the Tekufa. Now the Gemara asks a very technical question. Yom Shishim, Kilifnei Shishim, O Kilei Acher Shishim. That 60th day, do we start saying Saint Halamata on the 60th day, or do you wait till after the 60th day, till the 61st day? So Gemara says, Toshma, I bring you right for the following statement. Rav Amar Yom Shishim, Kilei Acher Shishim. Rav says that you start asking already on the 60th day. The 60th day is like after the 60th day in terms of Saint Halamata L'Bracha that you asked for it. Whereas Shmuel said, no, Shmuel Amar, no, Yom Shishim, Kilifnei Shishim. The 60th day has the same halachic status as the days before the 60th day that you don't say, you're saying Talamotel Bracha, you're still saying same Bracha. So again, Rav says you start saying it on the 60th day, and Shmuel says you start saying St. Talamotel Bracha on the 61st day. How do you remember which opinion was which? Amar Rav Nachum Yitzchak, V'simonach. In order to remember which was Rav and which was Shmuel, he says, look where they came from. Eloi Bo'omaya, Tatoi Lo Bo'omaya. The people that came from the high grounds, in other words, from Eretz Yisrael, they require water earlier, because Eretz Yisrael requires water. So Rav, who originally came from Eretz Yisrael, so remember him, he's the one that says, let's ask for the water earlier, on the 60th day. And Tatai, Shmuel, who came from Bavel, but they didn't need water as much as we already said. So Lo Boy Maya, so he says, no, you can wait till the 61st day. So this is a good mnemonic to remember, whether it's Rav or Shmuel, that was saying each din. And the Rashash has a very interesting addition. He says, no, that Rav came from areas of, well, he did come from Eretz Yisrael. Rav was practically living in a higher ground in Bavel than was Shmuel. And he said, not only did he come from Eretz Yisrael, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak is saying, no, the reason why Rav said we start asking for the rain on the 60th day, because in that part of Bavel, they needed rain, and therefore they started asking for it on an earlier day. And Shmuel, who lived in a lower lying ground in Bavel, said, we don't need the rain, therefore we ask on the 61st day. That brings up a very interesting shiloh. What happens if you live in a part of the world where they need rain during the period of time when you're supposed to say the same bracha. So the halacha l'maisa is there are many poskim that bring down that you're allowed to ask same talamot l'vracha in your shomea tefillah, and you don't say the same talamot in borech oleinu, you still say the same bracha, but you ask the same talamot in the Shemone Esrei in shomea tefillah. And they bring down, therefore, that if by accident in a place that needs rain, you said same talamot l'vracha, there are those opinions that say you wouldn't have to repeat the Shemone Esrei like you normally would right now if you were to say same talamot l'vracha in New York in the Shemone Esrei right now, so a person would have to repeat the Shemone Esrei. How do we paskin? Where says Amar Papa Hilchasa Yom Shishim Kila Achar Shishim. We paskin that the 60th day is like after the 60th day. We paskin like Rav had said that you ask for the rains on the 60th day already. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says Higia Yud Zayim B'Macheshva. This is according to the first opinion where the rains, the Revia Shlishis, the third rains, are supposed to come by the 17th of Macheshvan. And parallel would be for all the other shitas on the last day of the 3 days that the rains are supposed to come. If the rains haven't yet arrived, Higia Yud Zayim B'Macheshvan, Lo Yogud Shomer, you haven't had not the Revia Rishona, Shnia, or Shlishis, no rains have come, and now it's ready Yud Zayim B'Macheshvan, and no rains have come, so then Hiskilu HaYechidim Misanin Gimul Tanios. Then individuals, we'll see these are the Tamidei Chachamim, so they already start fasting. The rest of the Tzibur doesn't fast. Only the Yechidim fast at this point in time, a series of 3 fasts. Misanin Gimul Tanios. As we'll see, this is Monday, Thursday, Monday. And these Tanisim are regular, normal Tanisim, not like a Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av that start the night before, but they start in the morning by Olas HaShachar. And therefore, Ochlin Vishosim Mishich HaShecha. The night before, you're still allowed to eat and drink normally. And umutar mivlacha, there is no prohibition to do work on these days. Or rechitza, there's no prohibition of washing yourself. Like on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, there is a isser of rechitza. That doesn't apply to these early tanesim that only yechidim, only these special tamidei chacham would fast. There's no problem with sicha, you're allowed to anoint yourself, you're allowed to wear leather shoes, vinilas a sandal, and likewise with sasha samita, there's no problem or prohibition in having relations on these days. They're not that serious a fast that we add on these extra restrictions like we have on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. If unfortunately the rains don't come and now it's already Kislev, you get Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so now it's already a little bit more serious. It's really not any rain and it could be very dangerous. So now, based in his Gozrin Shalosh Tanios HaLatzibur. Now, not only the Yechidim, but now we start the series of fasts, the first series of fasts, 3 fasts for the entire Tzibur. We'll see there's a series of 3 fasts for the Tzibur, then another series of 3 fasts for the Tzibur, and then a series of 7 fasts for the Tzibur. This is in addition to the 3 fasts that we said the Yechidim start doing already when the rains haven't come by Yud Zayin Cheshvan. So now, if the rains haven't come by Chodesh Kislev, so then the Beis Din goes on the entire Tzibur, a Beis Hei Beis type of a fast. Now these fasts, just like by the Yechidim, they don't have any restrictions on the night before. Ochlim Mishosim Mishel Chashencha, the night before you can eat and drink as normal, and there's no prohibition on those days of Mutar B'Malacha, V'Rechitza, V'Besicha, V'Nisa Sandal, V'Tasha Shemitah. These are like regular day fasts that start from Olas HaShachar and don't have all their additional restrictions or prohibitions like Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av have. So these are the first 3 series of fasts. Mar starts off and asks, "Man Yechidim, who are these Tamidei Chacham? These Yechidim that we're referring to? So Amar Ravuna, these are the Rabbanim, these are the Tamidei Chacham." Amar Ravuna, Ravuna adds that Yechidim Misanim Shlosha Tanios Sheni VeChamishi VeSheni. He says that we have the Beis Hei Beis Tanesim. These individuals, these Yechidim, fast Beis Hei Beis. Mar says, "What's the Chiddush? All fasts like this in this series, all are Beis Hei Beis. They always start with a Monday, then go to Thursday, and then go to the following Monday. All of these series of fasts that we're going to be talking about start." Is a Beis Hei Beis. So what is Rafuna telling us? That the Yechidim also fast the Beis Hei Beis. So Beferish Gemara, my Kamashul and Tanina. I have this in the Mishnah later in the Masechta and Daf Tesvav, where it says, Ein Gozrin Tanis al Tzibur betchilo b'chamishi. We don't ever start a Tanis on the Tzibur on a Thursday, because Shalola Havkiya is a sharm, because people are going to buy food to break their fast with on Thursday night, and then they're going to buy food for Shabbos, and all of a sudden the storekeepers are going to see that everybody's buying a lot of food. They can say, oh, there must be a run on the food, there must be a famine coming, and they're going to raise all the prices. So in order not to have the prices go crazy, so they don't start a fast day on a Thursday, when people will then have to buy a tremendous amount of food, and it will look like there's a run on the food, and the prices will go up. If they started on a Monday, everybody will know, oh yeah, they bought a big meal on Monday to break their fast. Oh, now they're buying a big meal on Thursday, it's to break the fast, and the extra food is for Shabbos. It won't cause a rise inflation, won't cause a rise in the prices. Shalol Afi gets a sharm. Ella, Shalosh Tanios Harishona. So when they start off the first 3 fasts, it's a Sheni Chamishi Visheni. It's a Beis Hei Beis. So what is Rav Huna telling us? That the Yechidim start with Beis Hei Beis. Isn't that the rule always? Gemara says, not necessarily so. Now the time I would have said, honey, milat tzibor. If you have a whole tzibor going to buy food, and now they're suddenly buying it on a Thursday night, so that's going to raise the prices. Therefore, the tzibor starts a fast. We started on Monday, so everybody will know, oh yeah, this is the beis hebeis, and not because there's a run on the food market, and it won't cause inflation to occur. But you might have thought that since these are only individuals, yechidim, it's not going to impact the market. Avo yachid lo, this din doesn't apply. Maybe yechidim could start on a Thursday, the fasting. So therefore, kamash lon, rufunas chiddush is that no, even the yechidim, they do beis hebeis and don't start a tannis on a Thursday. And the price supports exactly what Rav Huna said. Tanin amihochi, kishishchilu ha-yechidim lisanos, misanin sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Even the yechidim, it's a beis hebeis type of a process, and we don't start a tanis on a Thursday. Then the Gemara says, umafsikin v'roshi chadoshim. If Rosh Chodesh comes into the series of beis hebeis, so then Rosh Chodesh is mafsikin, and you don't fast on Rosh Chodesh. Obviously, the question is, if we're talking here about starting on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so how could it possibly be that the Rosh Chodesh would interrupt the first beis hebeis? So unfortunately, I'm talking about the Lav Davkas is talking about our situation, and we're talking about another situation, or it could be talking about, according to the different opinions, as to when the fast start. But in any event, if Rosh Chodesh were to come out on the beis hebeis, you don't fast on Rosh Chodesh. We turn to Yoram HaBeis, and the Gemara continues and says, "Uviyomim tovim haksuvim megilas tainis." We likewise we don't fast if any of those days the beis hebeis were to come out on all of the minor yomim tovim that are listed in Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis is a very famous sefer. For those that really want to see what Megillas Tainis looks like, if you have the Masifta Gemara at the back of the Masifta Gemara, it actually has the text of Megillas Tainis with actually perushim on it to explain what it is. So these are a collection of minor miracles that occurred to Klal Yisrael. And they were codified as days that you can't fast on and days that you can't give hespedim on. And sometimes even the day before, the day afterwards you can't. So this is called Megillas Tainis. It was written by Hananya ben Chizkia during the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. And the dinim of that are discussed elsewhere. Now, it says, if the beis hebeis were to fall out on one of these minor holidays of Megillas Tainis, so you also would not fast on those days as well for the series of first three fasts. Tanarban, the Brisa tells us, Ayomar Odom Talmud Ani. In general, a person shouldn't make himself into a Talmud Chacham and say, oh, I'm worthy of all the tribute that a Talmud Chacham should get. I'm worthy of all the honor that a Talmud Chacham should get. So that's the general rule. Don't make yourself into an arrogant person, with one exception. Normally, we say, Ayomar Odom Talmud Ani. In a royal Yos Yachid. And therefore, the person might say, oh, I'm not worthy to be included in this fast of the Yechidim, of these people. Ella, in this situation, call Tamid Chacham Yechidim. Every single person can say, for this din, I'm a Talmud Chacham. The world will eventually say, because this is not something that you pride yourself on by saying you're fasting. It's a tircha to go and fast. So therefore, nobody's going to be arrogant by saying, I'm fasting on these days. Ezu Yachid, Ezu Talmud. So what's the difference over here between a Yachid and a Talmud that was saying that they fast as Yechidim on these days? So he tells us, Yochid kol shiroi lemanos parnos al hatzibor. The Yochid is somebody that could be appointed to be a leader of the tzibor. He is a big Talmud Chacham, and a Talmud is not on that level, but is still on a high enough level. If you ask him something that he's learning, as opposed to the Yochid, you can ask him something even that he's not learning, if you ask him a Shaila. And here, the Talmud, if you ask him something that he's learning, so Dvar Halacha Bilimudo, V'Omer, and he's able to give you the answer. And this is V'Afilu Meseches Kala, even if it's only on something that's a limited amount of knowledge. For example, he's learning Meseches Kala, which is one of the minor tractates, as we call them, that are found, they're not part of the Daf Yomi cycle, but they're small little Mesechtas that were put together, and they deal with the Halachos of, as the subject matter is, for example, of Kala. Others explain that this is talking about the Kala was the original Daf Yomi program that they would gather before Sukkot and before Pesach, and they would take the month off and they would go and learn a Masechta. So that was called the Masechta of the Kala. And any event, so even if you're only knowledgeable in that, so you can include yourself in those people that fast these original first three fasts before the entire Tzibur is required to fast. Bryce continues, says Tana Rabbanon, Lo Kol HaRotze Lasos Atzmo Yochid Oseh Talmud Oseh. In general, a person shouldn't make himself into a Yochid or into a Talmud. That's arrogant. That's Divri Rameir. That's the opinion of Rameir. However, Yossi Omer, Osev is Zochel HaTov. You are allowed to do so in this situation. That is certainly something that is Zochel HaTov. That's considered a positive thing to do. Lefish Ein Shevach Hulo El Tzarulo. Because by fasting in this situation, that's not really making yourself arrogant. That's a difficult thing to do, and therefore it won't cause a person to become arrogant. Tanidach. And the Brisa says, Lo kol arotza lasos atzmo yochid osa talmud osa divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says exactly like Rabbi Meir did. No, you don't have the right to make yourself into a yochid, into a talmud, even under these circumstances. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees, and he says, like the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, b'medvar mamurim, that's b'dover shel shevach. That's something that, oh, people will say, whoa, he's an important guy, look what he does. So that you shouldn't do. Abu b'dover shel tzar, such as fasting, osev v'zoch latov. A person can take upon himself to say, for this din, I'm a talmud chacham, she'ein shevach ulo, ela tzar ulo. Because this is not something that he'll praise himself with, but it's actually something that's difficult to do, and therefore, if he wishes to do it, he's allowed to. Tana Rabbanon, the Brisa tells me, Shur Yomis Aneh, Al HaTzorah of Yovra, if a person is fasting because of some tzorah, you're supposed to fast when you have a tzorah on Klal Yisrael. So there was some tzorah that was coming, and the person started to fast, the Beis Hei Beis fast, and then the tzorah went away for Yovra. Or Al HaChola, a person was sick, Nebuch, and he takes upon himself to fast, and then that person, Vinis Rabbi, before the series of fasts is over, so the Gemara says, Harezim Isana Umashlam, he has to go and finish either, some suggest that day of fasting that he was doing, or that series of Beis Hei Beis fasts that he took upon himself. The Brisa continues and says, HaHolech Mokum She'im Isanin L'Mokum She'im Isanin, the person travels. He goes to a place where they weren't fasting, there wasn't the tzorah there, but now he goes to a place where they do have the tzorah, so they are fasting. So I raise that misan iman. He should imo anochi b'tzorah. He should be part of them and be along with them in their suffering. He should take upon himself to be like them and fast with them. If he goes from a place that was fasting, and he goes to a place so nevertheless, he has to continue to fast because he accepted upon themselves, and even though Baruch Hashem is now in a place there is no tzorah, but he still has to be fulfilling the obligation that he took upon himself to fast because of the tzara that was in the previous place that he was. What happens if a person forgot that he's supposed to fast? Shochach, v'ochal, and he ate, v'shoser, and he drank. Now what should he do? So, ayisrab if natsibu, he shouldn't go and be amongst everybody else. Everybody else is difficult time, they're fasting, and here he's fully fed, he's fully, he's not dehydrated. Everybody else is suffering, and he's not. So don't see yourself amongst them. In other words, don't be amongst them, and they should be jealous of you that you ate and drank. And even such a person that ate and drank shouldn't say, well, I already ate and drank, so now I'm going to have chocolate cake. Now I'm going to have all sorts of delicacies. No, don't continue eating anymore. As Rashi says, since I already ate, I ate a little bit, so now I can eat a lot. No, so stop eating. You made a mistake, but now stop. This is based upon the pasuk in Bereishis as well, where it says, Vayomer Yaakov Levonov, Lomot Yisroel. When there was the famine in Eretz Yisrael, but Yaakov had plenty of food because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them food. Nevertheless, Yaakov told his sons, go down to Mitzrayim to be shover ocha, to go and get for us food. Why should you appear like you have plenty of food? Lama tisro. Yaakov is telling his children, Lama tisro means al tiaru atzmachem kishatem seveyin. Lo b'fnei Esav v'lo b'fnei Shmuel. Don't make it like you have plenty of food, which you do, in front of your enemies, the Esavs and the Yishmaels of the world, because if they see that you have plenty of stuff and they don't, they're going to be very jealous of you, they're going to attack you, they're going to persecute you, there's going to be anti-Semitism. So therefore, even though you may have, so don't look to them, don't show off to them, don't be showy and say, look what I have, and you do not. The Gemara continues to discuss the shift they caught when they went down to Mitzrayim. Ultimately, Yosef revealed himself to them, and then when we went back to Yaakov, he said, Al tirgizu baderech, don't become tirgizu baderech. What did this mean? Omer Belozer, Omer Yosef Lochiv, Yosef told his brothers, Al tis ask with varalocha. Tirgizu means over here, don't get too deeply involved in learning something. Shema tiragzu alechem aderech, because you'll get delayed, you'll cause roges over here, you'll cause yourself to be upset, because you'll be fighting with each other in Dvar Halacha. Go home and tell Yaakov that I'm alive, but don't get delayed and don't get into fights because of Halacha on the Derech. That's a simple understanding over here of the Gemara. Tosfos bring down, there's an exact opposite pshat. Yesh Medrash, Al Tafsiku Midvar Halacha, the exact opposite. Don't be so excited to go tell Yaakov that I'm home and not learn on the way home. Go learn on the way home. That's what it means. Al tirguzu baderech. Don't get delayed on the derech and be so excited to tell Yaakov that I'm still alive. No, sit and learn. Don't give up your regular shiurim for that. Again, two totally different approaches to this gemara. More questions. The girsa that we have, Ini, is this really so? That they were told, Al tidasku b'dvar halacha, don't learn? V'amar Rabbi Eloi bar Berechya. Rabbi Eloi, the son of Berechya, said, if two people are going together on the road, they're traveling, and they don't learn, so then, really sarf, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do I need you guys? I might as well burn you. Shenema, because the pasuk tells us, this is from the Lochem Beis, where Eliyahu and his Talmud Elisha are saying goodbye to each other. Eliyahu is going up to Shemayim, and in the chariots of fire, and Elisha's staying behind. And it says over there, Vahi hema holchim haloch v'daber, v'nei rechav esh, v'susei esh, v'yafridu ben shteyem. And that's when Eliyahu was separated from his Talmud, Elisha. And this fiery chariot comes and goes and separates them. And we darshan in this, Taimo Diko Dibor, the reason why they weren't destroyed, that Elisha still was alive. After this, Eliyahu went up to Shemayim alive, Taimo Diko Dibor, because they were learning in Torah. And that's why they weren't destroyed. Implication being, Holeka Dibor Re'uyin Lisarit. If they weren't learning Torah, then they would have been burned by this Rechav Esh and Susei Esh. So therefore, how can you tell me, here's the Kasha, how can you tell me, Rabbi Elazar, that Yosef told his brothers, Al Tis Asku B'dvar Halacha, hey, you see, if two people are going together and they're not learning, so then that's a problem. So we have a stira over here. So one says, Lo Kasha, it's not a stira. Holi Migras, Holi Yune, different types of learning. To chazer over your stuff, the migras, just to go over your learning, to go over your gear. So, okay, we learned this, now we're doing chazara. So chazara is not going to delay you. It's not going to cause altir gizu badorech. Okay, we're just going over the shiur. The Rebbe said this, the Rebbe said that. The Mishmur says this, the Aruch HaShulchan says that. So that's not a problem. However, holy yune, to go and delve into it, let's figure out what the halach is and let's get involved. No, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. And they really get involved in it. So that could be altir gizu badorech. Where it says, "B'masnisa tana," we learn the following brayso: "Al tafsiu p'siyah gasa." Since it taught us a little bit about traveling, so it tells us another din about traveling. "Al tafsiu p'siyah gasa v'achnisu chama lo'ir two dinim." It says, "Don't take large steps when you're traveling, because it could lead to trouble," as the Gemara will explain. And likewise, "Hachnisu chama lo'ir," go and travel during the daytime. Don't travel at night. It's dangerous to travel at night. What does this mean? So, "Al tafsiu p'siyah gasa," the Gemara says, "Yom amar," because we learned. Pisiya Gasin will tell us Echod Mechamesh Meos Mimor Eno Shaladim. Taking large steps will take away your eyesight. It will take 1/500th of a person's eyesight away. Again, we don't understand what this means exactly from a medical point of view, but the idea is that a person shouldn't take these large steps unless it's absolutely necessary to do so. Tosus points out if each step takes away 1/500th, so after you take 500 steps, you should be blind. And obviously that's not true. So Tosu tells us a famous idea of what's called the Asirusa Devei Rebbe. And this was a din in Ksubas where it's brought down that the minhag was to go and leave a tenth of the estate over for the daughters that they would have their dowry. So if a person had 10 daughters, that means the entire estate would go over to the daughters. So the Gemara says, no, Asirusa Devei Rebbe means that for the 10 daughters, you divide it up, you take a tenth, and then you take 1/10 of what's left, and 1/10 of what's left, and after that, you add it all up, and you divide it into 10 parts. So there'll still be a Yerusha left over for the sons. In any event, there's the same idea over here, that it's not that each step takes away 1/500th of the total, it takes away 1/500th of what's left. Even that is not something that we can easily understand on a pure medical, physical basis, and it's an idea that we just are learning. Then it says, "V'achnisu chamal ir," you should go into the city when it's still sunny outside, when the light is outside, and this is in accord with what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said. What did he say? Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, "Lo l'mietzi adam b'chito." Person should go travel when it's light outside, v'yikonis b'chito, and come into the city that he's traveling to when it's still light outside, b'chito. And this is based upon the pasuk also in Bereishis Shenemar, "Haboker or v'anashim shulcho." It was morning, and they sent the men off. Yosef didn't let his brothers go until it was the morning. Mar says further, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav Chiya. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav Chiya. Hamalal is by derech, a person is traveling on the road. Ayocha Yosef Mishnei Riovon. He shouldn't eat a lot because traveling is not going to be good for his digestive system. So therefore, only eat the minimal necessary. What's the reading? My timer, as I just said, Hocha Targini Gumishu Maina. Some suggest it's because it's going to lead to intestinal problems. You're traveling and you won't digest the food well. But in Eretz Yisrael, but my Rav Amar, they said Mishu Mizoni, because you may not have enough food. So only eat a little bit to make sure that you have enough food for the road. Is there a nafkamina between the two reasons? Maybe Naya, what's the nafkamina between the two reasons? So the Gemara says, Ika Benaya, there's a big nafkamina potentially in the following two ways. We turn to Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Number one, if you're on a boat, the Yosef Be'arava. So a person sitting on a boat, so he has to be concerned. There's no place he can get food in the middle of the ocean, but usually the boat's not going to upset his digestive system as much. Obviously, they're not talking about where there's a tremendous amount of seasickness. So therefore, because of the concern that there won't be enough food, you have to be concerned that only have a small amounts. But if it was a concern that you're only going a short distance on the boat, so then you don't have to worry about it upsetting your digestive system. Inami, alternatively, another nafkamina would be the ka'azul mi'avno li'avno. You're going from one town to another town, so there'll be plenty of food available. You don't have to worry about the lack of food, but the travel will still upset your digestive system, and therefore you have to be concerned about that. With this, we conclude today's share.